Father, we thank you and we praise you for what we've already experienced in your presence today. It is good to come together and to worship you. Hallelujah. I was glad, and we are glad, when it is said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you as we come together, there's a strength, there's a grace that we partake of that we can get no other way. And Father, we thank you for your word now, and we praise you that your word will be food to our spirits. That your word, Father God, will give us understanding and wisdom today. That your word is medicine to our flesh. And I thank you, Father, and praise you that the Holy Spirit illuminates the word of God to every person, every one of us here in this auditorium and everyone that's joined us on our live stream. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that your word will not return void, but that it will produce fruit. And I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit giving me utterance, helping me to communicate this word, helping me to communicate your heart, Father, today to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that is what I want to do. What I desire to do this morning is I want to communicate by the help of the Holy Spirit and through the word of God. I want to communicate God's heart to you in this area that we're going to talk about today. I believe God wants you to understand this about Him. He wants you to understand this about His character. He wants you to understand this about His nature. So I hope that you'll open your heart and your mind and receive this today. We're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. And the scripture here says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Now, the last part of that verse is what I want to... We're going to talk about all of that that's in that verse, but the last part of that is what I really believe that God wants us to understand this morning. He is the living God, and He gives to His children richly all things to enjoy. Amen. In the New Living Translation, it reads this way. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. The truth that God wants us to hear today, I believe, is this, is that He gives richly. God gives richly to His people, not just for our basic necessities, but it says here that He richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now that just blows away our religious thinking, doesn't it? That just blows the minds of religious people who think, and a lot of us have had that same mindset, well, you know, got to be careful. God doesn't want you to have too much stuff. It'll mess you up. It'll turn you away from Him. And there's that possibility. There's that chance. But here it says that God gives us all we need, not just for our basic necessities, but for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to have plenty. And He gives... Some of you are too old to remember Brill Cream, and by now you don't need it. But at one time in your life, you needed Brill Cream. But you didn't need a lot according to Brill Cream, because a little dab will do you. But God is not a Brill Cream God. God is not a little dab will do you God. God is a God who gives richly. God's not miserly. God's not stingy. God's not on a tight budget. God is not planning for recession in heaven. Come on. God, as Uncle Robin used to say, hallelujah. I love, J.J.'s uncle was Pastor Reverend Robin Martin, and a beloved friend of mine. And every time I say come on, I always think of him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful man of God that he was. Amen. But God gives, look at this verse in Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 31, Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, I love what Pastor Moss said. What shall we say to these things? When things are coming against you, you need to learn to say some things to these things. Hallelujah. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's one thing we ought to say to these things. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at this now. So first of all, God's for you. And see, that's another thing that we struggle with a lot of times. Can God really be for me? Yes, He's for you. He's rooting for you. He believes in you. He wants you to make it. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to succeed. Amen. God's for you. Amen. Look, why don't we say that to these things? God is for me. Say, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Let's say it again. Say, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Dad Hagin, you say, what difference does it make who's against me? If God's for me. Amen. But look at this next verse, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son. Think about it. What did God get? When God gave to us, what did He give? Well, here's an old angel that's got about 450 million miles on him. We can spare him. I mean, we need to replace him anyway. Let's just send him down to heaven for them. Is that what He did? He gave the very best He had. He didn't spare His own son, but delivered him up for us all. And then Paul asks the question, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God was willing to give His very best. He gave Jesus. And because He gave Jesus, that means that He will freely give us all things. What things? All things, He says in Timothy, for our enjoyment. Everything to meet our need, and all things for our enjoyment. Some of y'all are getting nervous, right? Wait a minute, Pastor, you're getting too far out there. No, I'm not. God is. God's out there. We need to catch up with Him. Come on. Amen. How dare we doubt God's generosity? How dare we doubt God's willingness to give every good and perfect gift to His children? Amen. But we do. Amen. We do. So we're blasting through that doubt today. Amen. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. God wants to give richly to you and to me. But we limit Him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited because they wouldn't allow God to do for them what He wanted to do. And with wrong thinking and with little thinking, we limit God from doing all that He wants to do for us. Amen? Amen. Psalm 23, you know what it says. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not have any want. I've read to you out of this book before and referenced it. It's a great little book. If you don't have it, you ought to get it. It's a book by Dad Hagin, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And he wrote this book as he shares in the experience here that he pastored for 12 years. And the last church that he pastored, things were quite comfortable for he and his family financially. The church provided a home for them to live in. They bought clothes for he and his wife when they would go to a conference. They'd buy him a new suit, buy her a new dress. People would bring food over. They paid him a decent salary, and they were blessed and comfortable. But God dealt with him about going into traveling ministry, and so he left that church and he went out into traveling ministry. And he was out on the road for a year. And I've heard him share this in person many times. He said he fought more devils and demons. See, if you're stepping forward into a new place in God and a new phase of His plan for your life, of course the devil is going to try to keep you out of that. Amen. And the devil will fight you. And so the devil fought him. He said, I fought more devils and demons in that year than I had in my entire life. And just opposition. And one of those areas mainly was an attack financially. And he ended that first year out in traveling ministry, and he looked up his figures and his income was $1,200 less. Now, that's in the 1940s. $1,200 is probably like $12,000 today. So his income was $1,200 less, plus the church had provided a home for him to live in. Now he has to pay for a house out of that $1,200 less. Plus, they're not paying his expenses to go to the conferences that he needs to go to, and they're not buying him the clothes. So he's got more expenses and less income. So he's hurting financially and goes to the Lord, and he said, I don't understand what's happening here. And the Lord told him what to begin to do, and it's revealed in this book. And he wrote this because it's not just what God told him to do. It's a strategy and a plan that'll work for you and I if we'll work it as well. But one thing that he told him to do, he said in the first place, he said, don't pray about money anymore. That is the way you've been praying. So he said, we'd beg and, you know, beg and scream and cry and finally somehow make it. He said, don't pray that way anymore. He said, claim whatever you need. I never had heard anybody say that about money. That came as a shock to me. The Lord continued, you say, Satan, take your hands off my money, because it's Satan who's keeping it from coming to you, not me. Claim it, because it's down there on the earth and Satan has the most control of it, because he's the god of this world. Say, I claim, naming whatever it is you want or need. People will argue, well, I can believe that God will meet our needs. But that's getting too far out when you start talking about wants. That's just what I said to the Lord. Now, Lord, I can believe that you want to meet our needs, but our wants? He replied, you claim to be a stickler for the word. In the 23rd Psalm that you quote so many times, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says in the 34th Psalm, this is Jesus quoting scripture to Brother Hagin. It says in the 34th Psalm, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. Claim whatever you need or want, Jesus told him. Amen. In that same Psalm, in Psalm 23, verse 5, he says, you prepare, we got verse 5 there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is half full. Well, that's enough. I mean, you don't need more than half full, do you? My cup what? Runs over. That's the Lord, our shepherd, doing that for us. Amen. The Lord fills your cup till it's running. Who needs a cup that's running over? Well, nobody really. You can't use that runs over, but God still does it because He's so generous. Amen. He's such a giver. He gives so richly. I like what Mark Rutland writes in this book, and this is a book that's changed my life, and I highly recommend it. 21 Seconds to Change Your World by Dr. Mark Rutland. And he's talking about that statement that David made in Psalm 23, my cup runs over. Here again, the great psalm speaks of abundance. This is a poetic statement of the unceasing flow of God's blessings. Just enough might be enough for us, not for God. He is the God of exceedingly abundantly. Ephesians 3:20. Bible says there He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why would He do that? That's just His nature. Amen. That's His nature. That's who He is. He is the God of beyond, above, greater, more munificent. I need to learn that word. But it's in there. Mark Rutland knows it. And more everything good than we could ever think of, dream up, or imagine. His blessings just keep on flowing, pouring down into the cup we hold, out over its brim, down across our fingers, and into our surprise laps. Listen to this statement. Now, this is so, so powerful, so true. We who believe in God seldom underestimate His power. We consistently underestimate His grace and goodness. We who believe in God seldom underestimate His power. We consistently underestimate His grace and His goodness. We underestimate how richly He wants to give into our lives. Amen? We limit God when, as He pours out blessings, we cry, when? Anybody ever, refilling your lemonade, and they're pouring and they say, just say when, right? As that's what He's talking about here. We limit God when, as He pours out His blessings, we cry, when? Or, that's enough, God. Or, I don't need any more. Or, well, somebody else deserves this more than me. See, we have such a messed up mindset. Robert was talking to me about this the other day that, in our Saturday outreach, we encourage people to go over to our prayer stations, get prayer for healing, whatever need they may have. And so many times people are reluctant, and you may encounter this in the healing room. By the way, the healing room is open this Saturday. We ran out of room in the bulletin, but the healing room is open this Saturday. It's coming Saturday from 2 to 4. But Robert says a lot of times, and I've run across this through the years as well, what can we pray with you about? What do you need God to do? Well, I don't want to ask anything for myself, but we could pray for my cousin, or we could pray for my aunt, or my neighbor needs. And they're thinking if they ask for something from God themselves, they might not be enough to go around for everybody else. I know we laugh at that, but that's the way we think sometimes. Listen, God's got plenty to go around. God's got enough for you, all your neighbors, everybody else, whatever, 7-8 billion of us on the planet, times 10, times 100. His supply is limitless. We limit God, Dr. Rutland says, when as He pours out blessings, we cry, when? Way too soon. Why should we say when at all? Rejoice and let it flow. Run quickly and get a bigger cup. Then let it flow some more. Laugh, I say, and let it flow. Never, ever say when. Amen. Hallelujah. That's not being greedy, that's being scriptural. That's not being greedy, that's being in agreement with God. Are you out there? Amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 11. Deuteronomy 28, 11 says, and the Lord, this is the blessing. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing and the cursing. Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through faith in Jesus Christ. Have I gotten any Gentiles in here this morning that have faith in Jesus Christ? Well, this blessing is for you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Notice, He's talking about stuff there. Notice they're not called bads. They're called goods. Why? Because they are good. Because it is good to have enough money to pay your bills. It is good to have enough money to feed your family. It is good. They are good. Now we're going to cover the other side of that if you're getting nervous. We'll cover the other side in a minute. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground. Amen. Amen. Look at the Message Bible. Look at how it reads in the Message. God will lavish you with good things. God will lavish you with good things. Say this. Say, God wants to lavish me with good things. Hallelujah. What are those good things? Children from your... Children are a good thing. Children are a blessing. You see these folks out here fighting for the right to kill babies. That's so demonic. That's so screwed up. Children are a blessing. Children are a gift. Children are a good. Children don't ruin our lives. Children enhance our lives. I know. I've got 5 of them. Amen. I couldn't imagine being without any of them. If we'd have stopped having kids at 2 or 3 or 4, if you stopped at 2, that's fine. That's good. But we went on and had 5, and they're all wonderful gifts. Children from your womb, offspring from your animals, crops from your land. That's prosperity. And it says God's doing that. God will lavish you with good things. That's His heart. Hallelujah. That's His desire for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And say again, things can be good. Yes, they can be a snare and they can be a distraction, but it's all in how we handle them and use them. Amen. Amen. And so that brings us to the issue then of covetousness. So again, God doesn't want us to covet. That's one of the Ten Commandments, right? You shall not covet. Well, we know that David violated that commandment of coveting, didn't he? In the story, you know the story of David and Bathsheba. David becomes king, and David has been king for a while. The army goes out to war, and David doesn't go out with the army. He stays behind, and he goes out on his rooftop one evening, and he looks around, and he sees Bathsheba out bathing. So he summons her. They have illicit relations. She becomes pregnant, and David attempts to cover up the sin and has Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered. You know, the cover-up is usually worse than the crime. And in this case, both were bad. And so God sends, David thinks he's gotten away with it. Some months pass. God sends Nathan the prophet to confront David. And he tells him a parable. And David gets incensed as he hears this. The way Nathan relates it, David thinks it's something going on in Israel about this guy that had a bunch of sheep. And he takes this one sheep that his family had that was like a pet, and a member of the family takes it and kills it. And David said, this is outrageous. This man needs to be punished. And then Nathan looks at David and says, David, you're the man. Wasn't saying you're the man in a congratulatory way. He says, you're the man that's done this, David. So let's put that verse up there if we got it. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house. Look at what God is telling. God is telling David all that he's done for him. He said, David, you broke my heart. You broke my heart with, look at what all I've done for you. He said, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Saul tried to kill him. God delivered David. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. Gave you the kingdom. Look at what God says next here. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Wow. Think about the heart of God. David, I did this for you, I did that for you, I did that for you, and that for you. And if that hadn't been enough, all you would have had to done was ask me. I would have given you much more. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to take this route and violate my command not to covet. See, the point is this. David sinned because he coveted someone else's wife. Then in an attempt to cover up the sin, he has Uriah, her husband, murdered. But again, David, what God says to David reveals so much about his generosity and how he desires to bless us abundantly. If that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. That's God's heart. That's God's heart toward his people today. If that's too little, he said, I'll give you much more. Just follow my plan. Just don't covet. Amen? We don't have to covet what somebody else has. God's got one for you. I said, God's got one for you. You don't have to look and say, boy, I wish I had that guy's car or house or whatever. You don't have to covet. God's got one for you. God just says, wants us to look to him. He's got one for you. Are you listening? Amen. There's no shortage in the kingdom of God. There's no supply chain issues in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's go to the book of James. James 4, verse 2. He says, you want, and this is the New Living. He says, you want what you don't have. So you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have. But you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want. Why? Why? Because you don't ask God for it. Well, duh. Amen. Now, don't look at back at me so holy and righteous. We've all coveted. We've all tried to circumvent and think, oh, well, how can I get this? And all God was waiting for us to do is just ask Him. Why didn't we ask Him? Because we really weren't convinced of how generous He was. We really weren't convinced that God would bless us with it. Are you out there? We didn't really think God wanted us to have it. Well, we need to work on that thinking then. I mean, if you know it's something that's contrary to His will, then no, we shouldn't be asking for that. But a lot of times, the problem's not that God is withholding, it's just we just have an ask. And the reason we have an ask is because we are thinking too small about how generous God is. Amen. Is this registering today, I hope?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. All right, now let's get to the other side. I promise you would. Verse 3, He says, and even when you ask, you don't get it. Is it possible to ask and not get it? Yeah. He says, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. Now again, is God opposed to you ever having any fun or enjoyment? Absolutely not. See, you have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scripture. So let's look at this verse in the light of 1 Timothy 6 that we started with. God richly gives us everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy things. He just doesn't want our motivation and our pursuit to be pleasure. Seek first what? Pleasure? Seek for what? You're here in church. There's folks. The marina was filling up with people as I left to come to church. Now, they do have a church service there on Sunday morning, so maybe they were going to church. But I'm sure a lot of them are going to get out on there. And there's nothing wrong with that. You chose to come to church yet. You can go out if you have a boat. Get on it later. But she said, I'm going to put God first.
Amen.
Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. He just doesn't want us seeking pleasure first.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what James is talking about here. You ask and you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. If our requests are only for our pleasures, then we're asking with wrong motives. If our motive for owning a nice home is so we can say, boast to our brother-in-law at Thanksgiving dinner, my house is bigger than yours. My house is nicer than yours. I got a pool table in my basement, and you don't. If that's your motive, that's wrong. But if your motive is to have a nice home for your family, to gather and fellowship and enjoy the goodness of God and the presence of, that's good. That's a good motive. Amen. That's not wrong. If your motive is to provide for your family, that's not wrong. That's a good thing. Amen. Let's talk about this now. So again, people can ask with wrong motives, but it's a good motive to bless your family. It's a good motive to go on a family vacation. Those things are good. I know folks that they go, their kids go, and their grandkids go, and have a family vacation together. It takes money to do something like that. You have to rent a whole house at the beach to do that, to gather your whole family. Is God opposed to that?
No.
No. God's not opposed to you doing something like that. Amen? Well, I've never had that. Well, have you asked God for it? Well, no. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So, a pastor, you don't understand. I've made such bad decisions. Anybody ever made bad decisions financially? Bad decisions that have affected you financially? Well, what about that? Well, let's deal with that. Well, King Amaziah, back in the Old Testament, one of the kings of Judah, he was afraid that some of the enemy armies were going to attack, and so he hired, this is after the kingdom was divided, Judah and Israel, and most a good for a good part of the time, Judah stayed faithful to God. Israel went off into idolatry, right? They had Ahab and Jezebel, and I mean, they just went off the deep end with their idolatry. And so King Amaziah of Judah, he hires 100,000 soldiers from the army of Israel to help Judah against their enemies. And the Bible says he paid the king of Israel 100 talents of silver for their services. Now, how much is that? Well, a talent in today's currency, a talent of silver would be about $1.4 million. This is a very conservative estimate. So that would be $140 million. And again, that's likely conservative because if you divide that out by 100,000 soldiers, I know your lightning fast mind's already figured this out. It's only $1,400 per soldier. So it's probably worth a lot more than the $140 million, but that's a conservative estimate. So here's what, so he pays the king of Israel $140 million for the services of these 100,000 troops. And then a prophet comes to King Amaziah, Second Chronicles 25 and 7, it says, "But a man of God came to him saying, 'O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you. For the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim.'" He's just paid $140 million to get their services. And now this prophet is saying, "No, don't let them go with you." Look at the next verse. "But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle, even so God shall make you fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to overthrow." In other words, if you trust in the army of Israel, you're going to fall. Because God has power to help you. So the next verse, verse 9. "Then Amaziah said to the man of God, 'But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I've given to the troops of Israel?'" He said, "Well, man, I wish you'd have told me this before I wrote the check. I wish you'd have told me this before I signed the contract with the king of Israel to pay him $140 million. You want me just to dismiss them? What about all the money I've spent?" And what the prophet said, "And the man of God answered, 'The Lord is able to give you much more than this.'"
Amen.
Woo-hoo.
Amen.
Yes. $140 million he had paid. He said, "Don't worry about that. You've sunk 100 talents into this project, $140 million, but just cut your losses, king. Just let it go, king, and let those 100,000 troops of Israel go because they're not with the Lord and you can't have God's blessing if they go. And by the way, the Lord's able to give you much more. Even though you made a bad decision by hiring them, if you'll turn to God, if you'll trust in God now, He'll restore the money back to you and give you much more than that."
Yeah.
Think about that. Amen. Think about God's gracious, giving heart. Amen. You know, you beat yourself up because of a bad decision that you've made. "Well, I'm just going to have to..." Now, don't misunderstand. There are times where we have to deal with consequences of things we've done. I understand that. But too much of the time we beat ourselves up when God's saying, "Look, you've turned back to me. You're walking with me now. You knew you made a wrong decision. You've repented of it. Let me bless you. Let me restore." But we say, "Oh no, God, I've got to pay for this." Oh, do you now? Well, what did Jesus do? Did He pay for anything for us? Amen. Hallelujah. God says, "I can and I will make it up to you. If you turn to me, if you fully trust me, I'll make it up to you. I'll restore." He said, told him in Joel, "I'll restore to you the years the locust has eaten." Oh, come on. Amen. And speaking of come on, JJ, come on back to the platform and begin to play. Hallelujah. Amen. He's able to give us much more. So four things as we close this out. Write these four things down. Here's what God wants us to do. Here's what He wants us to do. Number one, God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to see and understand just how gracious and what a giver that He is. God wants you and me to trust Him. Hallelujah. In fact, write it down this way if you're writing it down. He wants me to trust Him. Amen. Now don't write my name in there. He wants Pastor David to trust. No. I'm talking about you. Amen. You need to get this. He wants me to trust Him. And then number two, here's what God wants me to do. He wants me to look to Him as my source. He wants me to look to Him as my source. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need." The Amplified, I should have put it in the Amplified. The Amplified's great there. It says, "My God will liberally supply and fill to the full your every need." My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply all your need according to His riches. And I don't know how He does it, but He does. He can take it out of His riches and glory and get it into your bank account, get it into your hands, get it into your cupboard, get it into your pantry, get it into your refrigerator. God can do it. God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He wants you to look to Him as your source. 2 Corinthians 9:8, this is in the Amplified. It says, "God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you." How? Well, now I can't give you too much. Now somebody else over here might need some. We might run out. No. God's got plenty. God's not running out. Hallelujah. Millions of pounds of bananas fall off the banana trees and rot on the jungle floor every day because the monkeys can't eat them all. There's just too many. Too many. He's a God of abundance. He's able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Hallelujah. So look to Him as your source. Look to Him as your source. He wants to be. He wants to be your provider. And He can, and He does, and He will. Hallelujah. Put Him to the test. Amen. Number 3. He wants us to be thankful. Write it down that way. God wants me to be thankful. God wants me to be thankful. Moses warned the children of Israel. We were in Deuteronomy 28. We're going back there. He warned them in Deuteronomy 28 that the curse would come on. That curse that's out there, it'll come on you if you operate with this mindset. Verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness. Barbara, we get to do church. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. God was bringing them in the promised land. It was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. And He says, all I'm asking you to do is just recognize I gave it to you. Be thankful for it. Serve me with joy and gladness, and you'll be in great shape. But if we neglect to be thankful, if we neglect to remember where our blessings come from, then we cut ourselves off from God's abundance. We cut ourselves off from God's generosity. Amen. And then the last two, how many did I mention? 1, 2, 3, my numbers are off. There's 5. I've got 2 number 3 here. Okay. There's 5. All right. So the last two are here in 1 Timothy 6. Let's go back there. We started here, we'll end here. 1 Timothy 6:17, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud nor trust in money. Notice He didn't say, teach those who are rich in this world. You need to get saved, son. Did He say that? Teach those who are rich in this world. You're going to have to give away everything you have and be poor before you can enter the kingdom of God. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Or wait a minute, Pastor. The Lord told the rich young ruler that. Well, yeah, He told him specifically because his possessions had him. Amen. Not everybody has to go through that. And Jesus talked about the eye of the needle, about the camel. Okay, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle was the small door through the gate. When they closed the gate, they had to come in. If they were coming in at night after the gate was closed, they had the small door that could enter in through the city walls. If you had a camel that was fully loaded, that camel had to be oftentimes unloaded or at least get down on his knees and crawl through to get through there. All right. But guess what? When they unloaded the camel, they brought the stuff in and they put it back on him. If you, a person might have to unload some of their stuff to come to God, but guess what? God's ready to load it back on once they come to him. Amen. All right. But he says their trust, he says not to be proud nor trust in their money. That's why he says, that's why he told, Paul told Timothy to teach the rich. So there were rich people in the church in Timothy's day. Amen. So Paul said, you need to teach the ones that are rich. Not that they need to get, they're already saved. They're in the kingdom. He says, here's what you need to teach them. Not to be proud. All right. So number four, point number four is this. God wants us to stay humble. Write down, he wants me to stay humble. Not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So he wants me to stay humble. He wants me to have humility. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, again, Moses is warning them. He said, beware. He said that you would not say in your heart, my power. Did I give you 17? Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. So he said, don't say that. That's pride. If you think that your blessings, that your prosperity, that what you have, that you've... Well, wait a minute now, Pastor. Now, I've worked hard for it. I'll have to acknowledge it. I don't doubt that. But who gave you the ability to work? But who kept you healthy so you could work? But who opened up that door of opportunity for you to have that job? God did that. Amen. No, it wasn't your might and your power and the might of your hand. Verse 18. No, you should remember the Lord your God, for it's He who gives you the power to get wealth. Now, if wealth was wrong for us to have, then God is empowering people to sin. Did you get that? Who gives us the power to get wealth? God said He did. He did. He gives us the power to get wealth. So if wealth was wrong and a sin, then God is empowering people to sin. No, wealth is not wrong. It's how we use it. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to look to Him as our source. He wants us, what's the third one? To be thankful. He wants us to stay humble. And finally, He wants us to be generous. Look at what He says and continues to say here in Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6:18, tell them, can we go on to that one? 1 Timothy 6:8, yeah. Tell them, the rich, tell them to use their money to do good. To do what? To use their money. To use their money. See, we ought to be using money. Amen? Instead of money using us. We ought to be controlling money instead of money controlling us. Tell them to use their money to do good. You know, your money can do, if you'll use it right, your money can do a lot of good.
Amen.
I come to the church coming down Antioch Road, and there used to be a church there on Antioch, a metal building. I notice now it's the Tommy Bagwell Boys and Girls Home that they're establishing there. And Tommy Bagwell is a prominent businessman here in the community. I've never met him. I don't know where he stands with the Lord. I imagine he knows the Lord, but he's done a lot of good with his money. I imagine he probably gave several hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of dollars to establish that boys and girls home. He's done a lot of good with the money that he's been blessed with. Amen? And we can, whether you can give millions or whether you can give hundreds or whatever it may be, you can do good with your money. Amen. God wants me to be generous. Write that down. God wants me. He wants me to be generous. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, verse 19, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Hallelujah. See, God gives us richly everything for our enjoyment, but God also knows, and we should also know, that to experience true life, it's not just going to be enjoying our stuff. You know, you can go out and enjoy your stuff. But a lot of people have that in the world. They have their stuff to enjoy. And they get through enjoying their stuff. They get through, you know, going out on their yacht. And they get back and they say, is that all there is? Because there's something in there there's something in us that just enjoying stuff can't satisfy. It's only God. And by being generous, by giving, by using our money to do good, he says, we're experiencing true life. What are we doing? Because we're being like God then. We're tapping in and we're imitating our Heavenly Father by being generous, by giving, by being a blessing. Oh yeah, God wants to bless you, but he wants you to be a blessing too. Amen. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you've received, freely give. Praise God. I've talked long enough. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Father, I pray that your, Lord, that your great generosity, your great giving heart has just come alive in our hearts today. That we would see you as a generous God who richly gives into our lives. That we would experience that. And that we would communicate that. And that we'd be channels and vessels of that flowing to others. Lord, truly, you said, the psalmist said, my cup runs over. And that's truly your desire for all of us. For our cups not just to be half full. For us not just to barely make it. But for our cups to be full and running over so we can bless others. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you for that. I pray that every person, every one of us, Lord, would rise up and would begin to see you in a different way, in a greater way. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your abundance. Just begin to thank him for that right now. Hallelujah. Thank him for his abundance in your life. Thank him for his abundance. If there are things that you need, ask him. Ask him. You know, don't ask him if you just want to, you know, show up your neighbor. But if you have and 99.999, maybe 100% of the people in here and the situations in here, your request is legitimate. So ask him. Ask him. And if that's not enough, he said, I'll give you much more. Hallelujah. That's what he told David. If that hadn't been enough, I'd given you much more. Hallelujah. Stop beating yourself up if you've made bad decisions. The Lord is able to give you much more than that. Praise him. Thank him for it. Receive his abundance. Allow him to bless you. Don't limit him. Hallelujah.